Okay, cosmology. Hello, hello. So, the or one of the objectives in the book, Puranic Cosmology, whatever it was going to be called, the Vedic Planetarium, I think that's a better one actually, should be to collect these pieces of a puzzle, piece here, piece there, from the different cultures, identifying the key features of the ancient cosmologies, and from that, aided by the details we find there in the Puranas and elsewhere, try and come up with a cohesive, integrated, make sense model of the cosmos according to that outlook that we find there in the past. And one thing that we can also describe here that drove me further into this, making me see that there must be something to it, it's about just that, the when something appears over and over again, all over the world, from time to time, irrespective of culture, languages, religion, geography, then it might just be because it reflects a reality. Otherwise, why would it persist so long and so widely? Even in simultaneously in different countries, regions of the world, that are generally thought of not having much contact with each other culturally and intellectually, well, maybe they did, have more cultural exchange than we know due to the trade that went on between East and West, or the Middle East, and between the, I'll skip that, between East and West, just went on. even as early as 4000 BC. Well, now skip that also. Even thousands of years back. For instance, it has been 'Fairly well established by blah blah blah, what's the name, is Copland or whatever his name is. That there was trade connections going on between Mesopotamia and the Indus Valley as far back as 4000 BC. Artifacts from India have been found in Mesopotamia and vice versa. From that age, why shouldn't they also have been trading knowledge? If, as others suggest, different civilizations emerged independently of each other, and the similarities between their cosmology may be there. Because they were all based on observations of nature. And each one reached the same conclusion more or less independently. Whatever is the case, this fueled my interest . Maybe they had something, an important knowledge lost to us. Mm. due to the influence of later developments such as dogmatic religion, physicalist science, or something like that. So I decided to just gather whatever pieces I could find from all over the world. And see if a puzzle started to take shape. So anyway, so many cars. What I wanted to say was to describe a visual, that image really that I want to present at the end there. So it would be then that, okay, you got this flat earth, and some would call it geocentric, but it is really observer-centric, naturally, because those people saw no reason to look at the cosmos and the world, or imagine themselves looking at the cosmos and the world from any other vantage point than the one they have, that we have. A subjective point of view, you can call it, but isn't that much what the quantum physicists eventually came to conclude also? Consciousness is fundamental. Because all that we experience, perceive, that we call the cosmos, is ultimately just that, an experience in our minds and consciousness. And as such conscious observers, we are actively partaking and the cosmic events. Maybe much so than we are today aware of. And maybe the people in the past were more aware of. In India, the Puranas and so on, the entire creation is described as evolving from and being depending on the conscious observer. So anyway, I've said this so many times, the image here. So we've got the person there in the middle. And around there is the, and we can paint the Puranic cosmos around there. You got the ecliptic, you got the lunar mansions, you got the sun and the moon. You got the North Pole, that everything rotates around. Which then, of course, defines the Axis Mundi. But you also got all of this rotating around us. The cycle of the circle of time, the directions that work together in a complete dynamic way. So we show this person standing in the middle. But then someone may say, it doesn't feel right. Does it mean that this whole world is depending on us? That the moon doesn't exist unless someone, some of us look at it? As some delving into the philosophy of solipsism may have it. No, that's where we continue. Because us being beyond this physical cosmos, existing outside of it, transcendental to it, establishes the outside world, or an existence, a world, a space, whatever it is, outside of this. And on that tree of life, our existence, each and one of us, small conscious living beings, souls, are then like little twigs on a bigger tree of life. Whatever we should use metaphor here, that stretch through higher levels. Yes, we are not on the top here, which we may like to think. Higher beings, gods as we call them, living in different realms or heavens or lokas, going all the way up to the top or the root in what seems to be an inverted tree, as it also says in the Bhagavad Gita. Where the original being is, the fullness of all life, the source of all life. God. So then we can show that, and what we can show that when you take that consciousness-centered perspective on this world, and then we step out of that and look at it from outside, so to speak, from inside. Then we are in our turn. Yeah. If we go deeper and deeper and deeper, part of that, which again it establishes the structure of we just stand outside and we look, and there is this mirror, different levels. And we are not looking at that from the outside, we are in that. And we can show mirror as stairway or whatever. Thus walking upwards back home. Got the upwards going spiral, downward going spiral. It all depends on our consciousness, our activities that shape it, and so on. And then as we can establish that image, really everything just fits in there now, it seems to me at least. The Bhagavatam and the others, wow. I'm just praying that this can become so clear and I will be able to show this, because it's quite amazing and beautiful. Yep.